I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's an exciting group.
We'll note Councilman Spohr is not here this evening. He called in and said he would not be here tonight. Next item on our agenda is citizen input. Citizen input is on our agenda for those of you who are that would like to talk about something that isn't on the agenda this evening that however is the business of the council. So if you'll step up and introduce yourself.
Basically, I was just coming before you with the proposal for the fireworks display for this coming 4th of July. It included in the copies that I have there are not only the proposal, but there's also an attached proposal for a possible, like an addition of $1,000 to the display that would add a little bit more to the display. It'd add, I guess, a little bit more excitement. I don't know how else you'd put it, I guess. maybe you make the display a little bit longer. But yeah, there was a slight increase in the overall for the display itself in the price that it increased. So it was just a little bit amount. It was like 5% plus then for the extra 5%, you get the display that they also, or that they included for the 1,000. So anyway, basically just, I included it for your review, take your time. And then also I included with that the actual contract order so you guys could read through that. And I gave Eamon a copy, and then city attorney also did get a copy as well. And everybody should, if anybody wants a copy, there's still extra over there too. So can give everyone. Are there any questions there?
Are these about quantity wise about the same quantity as you've been shooting off?
Yes, the 5,000 includes the same quantity. It might be, I think, a little bit less. It's pretty close to about the same. There wasn't much of a rate increase basically for the last 5 years, and then this year they actually had a slight increase. So I believe 5,000 is identical almost to what we had last year. And then yeah, and then there's the extra little addition there. So
you've got 3,800 coming from the city with the 2% from the 2% money. Is that correct?
I believe so. Correct, as I understand it. Yes. I was going to be meeting with Brent Giles also to go over like the entertainment a little bit more on Friday and to actually kind of learn a little bit more about the procedure. I've been kind of getting myself up to speed on a lot of the stuff, and Kathy at the office has been working pretty hard on getting vendors worked out and that kind of stuff. So we should have a proposal ready to present hopefully after Friday. Yeah, it's been kind of an interesting learning curve, but a lot of fun at the same time. I don't know. I don't want to be the poster child of a bad fireworks display for Othello. So it's got to be good.
Do we need to bring this back up under new business because we're going to need a resolution in the council? Because I know the permit process is almost 30 days, according to our ordinance.
We'll put it in the process. So, fire department needs to comment on it.
And I got a couple comments, but I'll bring them up when we bring it back up.
Okay, so this is a nice presentation. I don't think we've ever been presented with anything like this.
Okay.
So we appreciate that.
Oh, no problem.
We will, is there anything more you'd like to say?
There really isn't. Most everything that I would be able to say is included in this. I gave you literally everything in the packet that they gave me, word for word. So that way you guys would have an idea of what I was looking at, and then you guys could make your decision. And
have you got these ordered, or are you waiting for us for the decision?
They have already been, they've been ordered in that he's reserved us for this next holiday, but the actual contract itself has not been finalized. And so I still need to meet, you know, And yeah, and I do need to get that finalized at some point. But, you know, I do need to meet with the police chief, fire department, and then the public works to finalize the proposal. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Are there any more citizen input? item number one, approval of our agenda.
I'll make that motion.
So moved.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve our agenda this evening. Discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Approval of the consent agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded that we approve the consent agenda. Discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Item number three, report on building and planning departments. Daryl?
Thank you, Mayor, members of the council. Daryl Piercy, city planner for the record. It's been almost a year since the city has taken on the contract services of SafeBuilt. And it's been 6 months now since you've taken on the services of Planet Consulting for your planning work for the city of Othello. And it seems impossible that 6 months have gone by since I first stood before you and made a presentation, but time has gone very quickly, and it's been a very exciting period of time for the city. It seemed very appropriate at this point to give the council an update on the activities and the issues that have come before the city in both the building and the planning departments. And I'd like to take just a few minutes this evening to be able to bring you up to date on some of the things that are happening and some of the challenges that we'll be facing over the course of the next year or so. First off, though, I want to compliment the council and the mayor on your direction that you provided us in the building and planning department. You have set the tone for the idea that customer service is paramount and that we owe our existence as a city staff to the citizens of the city of Othello, and that they're the reason we're here and that those are the folks that we serve. But we also keep in mind that the customers that we serve are not just those customers that face us at the counter on a daily basis, or the customers that we sit down with and talk about land use issues or permits. When we are having those conversations, we also have to be mindful of the other citizens of the city that are also our customers in a different way. They look to us to ensure that we fairly and predictably enforce the codes in the city so that their neighbor is not undertaking an activity that's prohibited, for example. Future homeowners also expect us as a building department to be able to look out for their safety and integrity of the structures that are being built within the city. So they're also our customers. So we have a very unique situation to provide service not only to those applicants that come before us and are seeking that service, but also a service to the broader community in terms of providing safe buildings and affordable structures that are well thought out and meet all of the current code requirements that are adopted by the city. And the same is true also on the land use side, where we are applying the land use regulations in a fair and consistent manner so that people in this community have an expectation of what will be happening in their neighborhoods and down the street and in their commercial districts. And it's really quite a challenge to be able to do that, and appreciate the opportunity to be able to serve the city and the citizens in that way and provide that high level of customer service. Since last year when you hired SafeBuilt to provide plan review and building inspection services, they've undergone some changes. And I think over the period of time that I've been associated with the city of Othello, we've seen some significant improvements in what was already a pretty high level of customer service and product that was being provided for by SafeBuilt. Since my arrival on the scene at the city of Othello, we have been working very closely with SafeBuilt in creating improvements within the system of reviewing permits and providing a much better line of communication between city staff and your contracted services. In addition, there's been some personnel modifications and changes at SafeBuilt, which I think have been a very positive move. I'm going to introduce to you in just a short while Michael Barth, who is the building official for SafeBuilt, covering all of Washington State. And I've had the pleasure in my past of actually calling Mike a colleague. We worked together at Kitsap County when I was in the planning side of the shop and he was in the building side. And we had a very good relationship then. And it was quite surprising, actually, for me to find out that Safeville had hired Mike and stolen him away from Kitsap County. He's not only a certified building official, but he's a master code professional. And few people in my life have I ever met that have had the credentials and the background to adequately, more than adequately, interpret and apply the codes in a way that is fair and is able to explain it in very easy terms to people who he's working with, and always looks at the idea that there's a solution to a problem, and that through good communication we can come together and find the answers that work both for the builders, that work for the city, and work for the future homeowners. And that really has been the key to, I think, to Mike's success, and at least in my relationship with him over the years. But more to the point of what has been happening in the building side of the department, we've been undertaking a variety of improvements and changes that really are intended to provide much greater efficiency utilizing the city staff, and also provide a much better service to the customers, the builders, and the applicants in terms of the time it takes to actually review and process a permit. In addition, we offer something that very few cities these days with budget cuts and reductions in force can offer, and that's one-day service for building inspections. If you call us today, we will be out tomorrow to provide your building inspection. And you can even ask for an AM or PM time in which that would occur. And you're just not finding that level of service in other municipalities and other counties because of budget cuts and because of reductions in force that we're seeing across the board in most city services. So we should feel very fortunate in this city that we are providing and offering that level of service for building inspections. We also are providing a turnaround time for our plan reviews that I think is second to none. Within 1 week on even the most complicated projects, building review is being accomplished. And I think that's remarkable. That's truly a great service that we're providing. And again, I think goes unmatched in any other municipality in the state, particularly with the budget cuts that we're seeing. Some of the things that have helped in terms of that time frame is that we have been working with Safebuilt, and they're now able to accept electronic versions of plans for review. So rather than having to take in a big roll of plans and transmit those via mail and get them back via mail and the time it takes to do that, we can zip them off electronically. And Safebuilt has them. They can review them there. If necessary, if there's technical elements, there's others within Safebuilt organization that could review those because of the electronic format, they can be passed easily to different locations. And if we're dealing with an extremely complicated project, that's a real advantage to be able to have the ability to reach out to other experts in the field and to have those services behind us. So we are making some pretty substantial improvements and some changes and higher quality of customer service in everything we do in the building side of the department. And I think it's beginning to show in some of the comments and some of the feedback that we're getting. We're getting nice complimentary letters that have come to the city. We've had outreach meetings with the building community where we've gotten very positive comments back from those that were in attendance. So we feel like things are looking very good. Over 70 inspections were conducted, or 70 permits were issued last year by Safebuilt and their review. And so we feel very good in terms of the level of service we're providing. I would like to introduce Mike Barth and give him an opportunity to make just a few comments, and then I'll jump over to the planning side of the shop. Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council. Daryl was very kind in what he said about me. I always felt it was my honor to be able to come back to work with Daryl. So, just a little bit about myself. The last 7 years, I've worked for Kitsap County. I was their chief building official. I managed their building department as well as code enforcement, and for a short amount of time, the fire marshal's office. I was very active and still am active in a lot of emergency management, preparedness planning, and disaster response. And I'm very active in code development, where I currently serve with WABA, Washington Association of Building Officials, as in their technical code development committee, as well as their legislative committee. I hold a seat on the State Building Code Council's mechanical code tag. So, those pieces of code development, are some of the things that I used for my own growth and keeping up with the current codes around us, and that's been real beneficial to me. I do hold 26 ICC certifications. As Daryl mentioned, one of them is the Master Code Professional, and that's ICC's highest level of certification. And when I received that about 5 years ago, I was the only one in Washington State, and for about 3 years was the only one in Washington State that had that certification level. At one point, I was highlighted by the ICC's in their monthly magazine for that certification and the work that I had done in Kitsap County. Prior to Safeville in Kitsap County, I was a plans examiner. I had been a code enforcement officer. And then before that, I spent 14 years as a self-employed general contractor. So it's one of those things where I used to joke with my colleagues and all that for when I crossed over to the dark side, but but having spent a good bit of time on that side of the counter, I think gave me a real good understanding of the whole process and both sides of it, and I use that knowledge in implementing an effective building code program. The thing is, we're all on the same side. There is no dark side. And the bottom line is, I think contractors, all the builders, building officials, building inspectors, we're all after the same thing, and that's safety in the built environment. And so that makes it all work. One of the things that attracted me to Safebuilt when I joined Safebuilt in October of last year was their core values. They start off their list with integrity, and under that in the small print is, we choose to do the right thing every time. That stood out to me a lot with Safebuilt, and in the months since I've been there, I've learned that they truly live by that list of core values. The core values go on with from integrity to improvement, service, teamwork, and respect. With a little clip-it on each of those. And they really live it. It's not just words on a poster, but they truly believe it. And that really appealed to me with Safebuilt. As Daryl mentioned, we're trying to move things forward, trying to do a lot more electronically, providing our jurisdictions and our partner cities electronic plan review. It makes it so much easier. So what we'll do is whatever format a contractor, architect, engineers want to use, we'll make that happen. And we can accept that, and we can accept it via email or on CD. It just makes it so much more convenient. And I think Daryl really touched on a lot of my other things. I do appreciate the opportunity to speak with you, to meet with you, and for Safebuilt to continue serving you. And hopefully we can do whatever we can to keep improving that service, because we want to be the best in the business. And that's important to us, and that customer service aspect is very important to us, as it is, I'm sure, for you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask you a question real quick?
Certainly.
So you're the one that calls on fellow men? Does our inspecting?
I'm managing the program for all of Washington. I was out here doing inspections today because I'm here.
Yeah.
But it's.
So you inspect every day in Othello?
No,
somebody does.
Yeah, somebody does if they're called in. Essentially, the way we work is if we get the inspection request from Othello by 4 o'clock, 4:30, you probably know the time better than I do. If we get it by then we schedule it for the next day, and we try to hit the AM or PM as requested. What we do is we guarantee next day, and we really try hard to work that AM and PM, and probably 90-95% of the time we're able to hit that as well for the morning or afternoon. And it's usually one of the, we've got two different inspectors that cover this area, kind of where their areas overlap.
Thank you.
There you go. Thank you.
We'll move on now to the planning side of the shop for the City of Othello. And first, I'd like to talk a little bit about the work that we're doing with the Planning Commission and the training program that we've established and developed for them. When I first met with the Planning Commission, one of the things that they said was, we're not quite sure what our role is. We would like to have more information about what the planning process actually means, what our role is within that planning process, how can we make decisions that are better, that are well developed, that have findings of fact that make sense. And frankly, they said, we want to be able to present to the City Council a recommendation that's bulletproof, so that when the City Council looks at it, they know that it's gone through a whole lot of thought and process and that it meets the requirements of the law. So we worked with the Planning Commission and developed a training program for them. And one of the cornerstones of that training program is actually one that comes to us for free, which is almost unheard of these days to get a good high quality training program. But I provided each of you a copy of a disc that's a short course on local planning. And it's a program that's developed by CTED at the state, as well as the Planning Association of Washington and the American Planning Association, which are the professionals from the organizations such as myself that have contributed towards many aspects of this program. We are going through this chapter by chapter with the Planning Commission, taking on about 2 chapters per month, and giving them homework assignments and coming back and having a discussion about the roles and responsibilities of the Planning Commission as they relate to this effort. The first month, for example, we talked about the issue of public participation and appearance of fairness and all of the aspects associated with how to conduct a public meeting and what's required of that and how the public and the commission can interact legally and sometimes the way they should not interact when it comes to certain issues and decisions. So I think you're going to find that this is going to be a very valuable tool for the Planning Commission, and that as you see decisions or their recommendations come forward in the future, they are going to be more fully developed. They are going to be based in facts, and they're going to be based on the record that's been established before the Planning Commission. The other thing that I think the Planning Commission wants to relay to the council is they'd love to have open lines of communication. They've talked about the possibility of getting together at least once a year, maybe twice a year, with the council at a study session and just talk about any decisions or any issues and direction from the council on the things that they'd like them to take on. And so they're anxious to be part of this process. And I know from my experience, one of the things that's always difficult is to continue this motivation and enthusiasm in your Planning Commission members, because sometimes it can be kind of a thankless job, and sometimes they get a lot of heat and criticism in public meetings, and they look at themselves sometimes and say, why? Why do I go through this? The reality is they're an extremely important element of the whole planning process for a city. And we need to nurture that, and we need to provide them with the training, and we need to listen to some of the things that they have to say and offer. And there needs to be a good communication between the council and the Planning Commission, or they'll throw up their hands and say, it's not worth it. It just really isn't. And so I think, as you'll see over the next several months, we'll be working at ways to begin to improve that level of communication between the Planning Commission and the council. And it'll start by the development of some of these well-thought-out, well-developed recommendations that they'll be providing to you as things come before them. And I think you'll find that that'll be really invaluable to their process. But there's more than just a Planning Commission that we're working on. Internally, we have our own training program. I'm working with Serena to bring her along and her professional abilities. And I think already we've seen a remarkable change in her approach to that position, into that job. She has stepped up, I thought, and is embracing some of this direction and some of the training that we're now providing to her. And it's made a significant improvement in both her attitude and her ability to serve the customers that we have on a regular basis. And I think you'd be surprised on how many phone calls come into our planning department each and every day. It surprised me, frankly, when I came to the City of Othello, the level of activity and the level of conversations that take place on a daily basis with our citizens. It's really quite amazing to see the number of calls that we get at that counter. We are working on programs dealing with the update of our comprehensive plan, our development code. As you know, we've updated our critical areas ordinance and passed that earlier this year. We're working on something that I think is extremely critical, and I've had conversations with our city attorney about it. And it's a process that's called design review. And some jurisdictions call it site plan review, but we're working on bringing that forward to you through the Planning Commission, ultimately as a proposal to the council. And I'll give you an example of how it works and why I feel it's so important. We have a building across the street from City Hall right now that used to be a furniture store, but possibly is going to be converted into a grocery store. The only review we have of that conversion of use is a building permit. And if for some reason they were able to do that conversion without a building permit, then the business license would be the only other element that we'd even have a look-see at it. What a site plan review process allows us to do is to actually review that use in relationship to our zoning code. And that's the one link that's missing in our review process when businesses change hands or when there's a change of use or when there's a new commercial use being proposed for the city. We have no formal way to actually look at that from a land use perspective, and the site plan review process will allow us to do that. That, in conjunction with some design standards, which I think, I know I've had a conversation with the mayor talking about the need to perhaps develop some design standards within our commercial core, maybe starting with Main Street, and using that as an example of how design standards can add to the character of the community. And combining that with that site plan review process, we'll have a way to actually implement those kinds of needs that the city has. So as we move into this year, you should look for development of the comprehensive plan. The Planning Commission's already started working on that. Updating of our development codes, there's a number of inconsistencies in that document. And you'll see a lot of information come forward to you from the Planning Commission on those regulations that we have. The other thing I think to keep in mind is that we have a commitment to create a level of fairness and consistency. You've heard Mike talk about consistency and predictability this evening. It follows through on all of the aspects we do as city government. We need to be consistent with our citizens. We need to be fair, and we need to be predictable. And we've established that process over the last 6 months in our planning and building department. When citizens come to us, they know that they're being treated the same as the next citizen that's going to come to us, and the next one after that, and the next one after that. It's a fair application and a consistent application of the codes and regulations that we have that really create that integrity and a professionalism of our department that I think is very necessary in order to move forward and to have the citizens accept the regulations and the things that we do. Because in many cases, we have the need to provide regulations and to apply them, and we need to do that fairly and consistently. Challenges facing us over the next year. One of the things in the building side of the office is that in July 2010, we'll have a new cycle of the International Building Code take effect. So between now and July of next year, we will need to begin to provide education and training to both the builders, our own staff, the citizens of the community, on what these new changes potentially mean to them as homeowners and as professional builders in the community working here. I don't think that step was taken 3 years ago or 2 years ago when the code changed, and I think there's been a lot of confusion with the international code since that has been adopted 2 years ago, and we want to make sure that doesn't happen the next go around. So we're going to have an outreach process to where we can bring these builders and citizens up to date on the changes of the building code. One of the changes that still is in limbo, but it looks like it's going to happen, is residential sprinklers will be a requirement after July of 2010. So it's definitely going to be in the international code. The question right now is whether or not the state of Washington is going to adopt that requirement. But that's only one of probably several thousand changes within the code that happens every cycle. And we'll keep up to date on that, and we'll be providing seminars and educational outreach for that. We want to continue to improve the opportunities for citizen participation. The Planning Commission has put that as their number one priority to make sure that they get good public input. And we want to work on that communication between the Planning Commission and the Council. And then the biggest challenge, I think, for us is to really go through our codes and create consistency, not just in the zoning code, not just in the development regulations, but across the board, so that when a citizen comes to the city, they won't find discrepancies or inconsistencies from one section of code to the other. And we do find that today. Part of it is because certain sections of the code were changed and they didn't correlate with other sections. And over the years, that happens and compounds upon itself. What we'd like to do over the course of the next 8 to 12 months is a more comprehensive overview of the whole code and bring in line section by section consistency across the board, so there's no conflict between different elements of the code, from what you might do in the public works side of the shop versus what you might do in the building side of the shop. So we'll be working on that, and that's a big challenge. That's a big undertaking, but we think we're up to it, and we look forward to that challenge. So enjoy working with all of you. I really want to thank Eamon and the staff. This is one of the most professional organizations I've had the pleasure of ever working with, and I can tell you that it shows in the way people approach their job in this city, and it's truly a pleasure to be part of it, and I want to thank you. Any questions?
You had mentioned a fair amount of phone calls go through. I assume Serena takes the phone calls?
Serena takes many of those phone calls. I take many of those phone calls. As you know, I'm here 2 days a week, yeah. But if you look at my card, my cell phone is prominently displayed on my business card. I take many phone calls during that period of time when I'm not here. And then Serena also forwards many of those phone calls when there's questions that she can't answer. Some of them go to Mike when it comes to building code questions or to Safeco staff. But I think what is important to know is that regardless of the question, whether it's within Serena's capabilities or whether it's outside of Serena's capabilities, the citizens get a response, and they get a response almost always the very same day that they call. So the system that we have and the ability to provide 5 day a week service, whether we're physically present or not, I think is a real advantage to the city to be able to provide that kind of service and response utilizing the program that we have.
That was my second half. My question was how you're handling that. So she answers what she can, and then the rest she phones you guys. And
yeah, our email. Okay. We'll respond to email too, but a lot of phone calls come directly to me from my business card with the cell phone number on it.
Okay. So. Good.
Any more questions for Daryl? Thank you.
Thank you.
Item number four, overlay and sports court update. Jay?
Good evening. Has everybody seen the overlays and the tennis courts and basketball courts have been paved? We're initially waiting on a cure time on the asphalt for the fence to go in and then the coating to go on that. As I've learned, as of probably 6 o'clock tonight, the fencing contractor has been delayed and I should get a finishing schedule as of tomorrow. They do have a 55 working day clause in their contract, so we're still well within that. But what we expect to see as this moves on is the fence posts going in, tennis posts going in, and the coating going down. There will be a pre-level on the tennis courts that will actually get it prepped for the coating, the final coating on that, and then the basketball courts after that. Provided some of the pictures in here that we had taken. I don't know if you got color pictures or not.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, it's probably a lot easier to see of some of the destruction and reconstruction that happened up there.
So the basketball hoops, is that something we're putting in as a city, or is that part of the contract?
No, the hoops are part of the contract.
Oh, okay.
The only thing expected that for us left to do when we're done is we're going to peel off some high spots out there, lower some sprinklers. There's some low spots that we're going to be filling with topsoil and putting sod in just to do the finish dressing on it.
You can see the unevenness here in the grass alongside
especially
the court.
Especially on the south side of the tennis
yeah.
court, yes.
See.
But the sprinklers were down for so long during this project because they are in and on the grass and off. We had them down. What we did is repaired a few, going through a couple of watering cycles so we can get the grass back up before it's totally dead. Then we will go in and lower those high spots and fill the low spots.
You put the water truck on the tennis courts to see where the water would stand?
Yeah, we ran our water truck across it just to see where it was going to stand. And from that, I think the paving contractor got a little excited and tried to go fill in some holes. And they got in touch with the court contractor and said, no, don't worry about it. Get off with it. Our free level will take care of it. And so everybody was relieved, and away they went.
Go ahead, Dan.
Jay, there was some discussion last week on the existing court and the cover on it, how slick it is, and there was some talk about they would be might be able to fix that, or is that?
They will be able to fix that. The tennis or the court contractor actually went out and inspected the paint on it and everything else. That is not an issue. And the basketball court will receive the same coating as the new one.
Okay. Was it too late to change the color?
Nope, colors have been changed. They will match the tennis courts, maroon and green.
I've got one other question here. How come we put that new one slow? We talked about this before construction time, raising that elevation so at least matches that handball court or the existing court. We ended up with that thing about 6 inches lower than it should be. It looks to me like we got a hazard there with that handball court. Was that necessary to make it that low? It only took about 50 yards of extra material to bring that up to the right elevation. Now I think we've got a little bit of a liability problem there. Or was it just intentional so we get rid of the handball court?
No,
it was not. I don't know. I mean, because I made that very explicit in here before the construction time, to look at those elevations, to bring those all up to a level amount. And everybody ignored it. You go look at it, you can look at it right here in this drawing, and there's 9 inches between the handball court and that existing one. And there's also lower than the other existing court over here. And there was no reason, it sits in that pocket there, and it made the park look a lot better and improvement-wise. If you brought that up, you wouldn't have had to dug it so deep. Just my comment.
It's the fan.
That happened last meeting, too.
For those of you that haven't noticed, we have a new clock here in front of Debbie. And it. I mean, I can see it. You guys can't see it. It's digital and red and it's hooked in with her computer, and what it does is if you need to go back to a specific topic, there's a specific time and she can go right to it. And so it's just better records. So that's what that is. So the handball courts, you know, we're going to address that. You know, we're watching it right now, and we're going to see if they do get used or they are not being used, and that will may or may not happen. Ken,
my understanding of the reasons for the level of the basketball courts is there is cuts and fills both. This is not a very level piece of ground. We have quite a bit of topsoil to go in on the south side of it. There is cuts that are made on the east side of it, and that's part of the transition that we're going to be working on, is that ledge and cut between the handball and the basketball court both. I'll take a double look at it tomorrow just to make sure but that was my understanding of the elevations of the court of why they were set.
It was so simple, and I very explicitly said that when we were talking about we could not get that in there between that existing court and the handball court. And I said, look at the elevations at the same time, and there's no reason. We had all kinds of fill.
No, wait a minute. You are one person up here on this council, and you specifically told him, but the council makes decisions collectively, Ken.
That's right.
So I am sure that was looked at. This has been engineered by our engineering company here, and there's a reason why they did it the way they did it.
Since we're talking about that, are you thinking about like sloping the ground a little bit back on that cut there? Is that what you're thinking? Or
between the handball and the
yeah.
Yes, that will be a smooth transition from the floor of the handball to the floor of the basketball court. And if you look in the foreground of the picture, at your lower left-hand corner of your picture, you don't see it that much, but that's that end of the court is actually probably 8 inches of fill. And if we go higher, then we have even more fill. And my understanding behind the grade level set by Gray and Osborne was it's a balance between fill and cut.
Ken, your issue is liability, the lip that's there, and the drop, which we're going to address.
Anybody that plays handball, when they reach back to the end of that court and that ball goes back there and they step off of that ledge, even if you slope it, you still got a problem.
I think if they kept on filling up where they had to do the fill, we're going to have that same ledge on the basketball court. So we're going to have the same issue.
It's still lower than the basketball court.
Well, if you keep filling it up, then you're going to have a step off over here at this end. I mean, if you bring that up 9 inches, that's going to bring this side up 9 inches, and you're going to have a step off over here on this side. You know, so I don't know where you draw the line. Any more questions on the sports court update? Item number 5, post office revision update.
After doing all the, I brought a notepad here. Preliminary markings for the post office revision, and after getting on the ground and actually doing the markings of what we have, we determined that the last parking spot, let me go over this a little bit quicker here. What you see in red is inside the parking lot, and this is going to be the post office painting markings, what they're responsible for. This red line is a fence on the south side. This red line is the fence just on the north side to keep foot traffic out of the parking lot and to the sidewalks. These two yellow dots are do not enter signs that will be facing Main Street. And on this side of it, they will say right turn only to make this turn here. This is an 18-inch solid yellow line that will have delineators, 4-foot traffic delineators placed on throughout the summer, and they'll be removed before snowplow season. They're just to get everybody used to it, what it is, and then be removed. This is also an 18-inch yellow line that is a do not cross line. You cannot cross these lines. And actually, okay, I'll go back to where I was at. This right here is a sidewalk curb cut that's going to be made for a driveway. After going out and doing the markings on the ground, we determined that this driveway is not going to be for the entryway in here. So I proposed two different options to the postmaster. One was to go ahead and bring this fence out and then angle it over here and maintain all the parking. And the other option is to go ahead and use this parking spot and this parking spot and move these basically to here and here. We discussed it with him on the ground quite a bit, and he decided that he would still rather have his fence here in this straight line to provide for employee parking and mail truck parking right here. He felt the curved fence wouldn't work for him that way. So he's made the decision that he can live with moving and losing one parking spot in their lot and one parking spot on the street. As far as we're concerned, that's okay too. Whichever way works best for him within his own lot, he agreed with that. So we're going to go ahead and move forward with this in mind, and we're looking at probably mid-June now before we can get this completed.
I guess I'd like to bring up a comment I brought once before. This even happened to my wife today. She takes up the mail for Evergreen Implement. When you're going to be parked on the street, and there's a lot of four-wheel drives in this town, what do you do with a little car trying to back out into traffic there? Why can't we move that line over so there's one lane going? Yeah, move it over, then have a little bit of a line there to give the backup people some view when they come around without being in the traffic pattern heading towards Main Street.
What we've actually done here is we went out and marked these, and
parked several different sized vehicles in here, from a small S10 that we use for code enforcement to a four-door F-350 four-wheel drive long box truck. We put the F-350 right here. The parent stuck out just a little bit over the line. A regular full-size Chevrolet truck that we use for service trucks for public works parked in here and still left over a 12-foot travel lane here.
Yeah, I'm not worried about them. I'm worried about the Volkswagen that pulls in next to it or the Toyota, whatever. And he's got trucks on both sides. They just pull between them. You have no hope of seeing them when you back out. You know what I mean? Until you get past the trucks.
Right.
By then, hopefully you're not hit. That's what I'm worried about, is that issue right there. So,
could a reduced speed limit in that area help? Just slow the traffic down.
This is an option, I think, that's you're approaching the corner. And this is an option that they're used actually in quite a few different cities. And there's going to be some time for people to get used to this. But I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue. We watched cars for 20 minutes out there as we moved vehicles in and out. The UPS truck come through and a mail truck actually came out. And everybody was really cautious there. I'm not saying that nothing will ever happen. But I was kind of surprised at how the layout worked.
A lot of that traffic are going to be looking for a traffic slot too, so they're going to be, if they see some brake lights on, they're probably going to be slowing and stopping. And I'm sure that traffic will be going slow there because those people will be looking for a traffic slot, a parking slot, to go into the post office.
And you will no longer have these cars leaving City Hall turning this way. City Hall will also receive right turn onlys out of this driveway. You can still turn in here and turn out here, but you cannot make a left hand turn here. So that's going to eliminate that one also. That's that third direction.
Jay, can you mention the purposes of the two fences, one on the south end and one on the north end, what they do?
The one on the north end is what this will do is redirect pedestrian traffic back away from the building, because there were some issues brought up during this whole discussion that customers were going to step out here right next to a brick wall in front of the car that's either, you know, backing out or pulling out to these signs. So this fence is going to be installed by the post office, and that will redirect foot traffic out here to give a good visual before they actually cross, and they will be crossing on a crosswalk or on a driveway sidewalk. This fence is going to be in here to eliminate any public parking back in here and provide for more access, easier access for the mail trucks doing deliveries, loading, leaving, and everything else. And previous to this fence, as it is right now, you're having traffic, post office traffic, and trucks both trying to negotiate with this whole area at the same time. And that was causing some issues also, so that's going to be eliminated with that fence here. And this is the only public access into the post office, and it allows their freight and delivery drivers to operate in here without public traffic.
There'll be no left turn into the city parking lot right out here?
There will be no left turn into this parking lot. You'll have to use the south parking. You'll have to use the south driveway, the west driveway, which will eliminate more traffic there at that spot too, also.
It's like everybody's just going to have to retrain on what they've been doing for the last 30 years, or in my case, more years than that.
It's a big change at this corner, but it's necessary to eliminate a lot of the issues that I think every one of us has seen here.
Oh, yeah. And the postmaster is the one that's been allowed to make these fine-tuning decisions right here at the end?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He brought in both options, and he weighed them both out, looked at them both, considered them both, and decided that he wanted the fence to remain straight on this property. So it doesn't matter to us. It's just a sidewalk cut and one less parking spot. So and he was in agreement with that.
One other small question here, Jay. On Main Street itself, that that line will be short enough that you can still make a left turn lane off of Main Street into the bank, is that correct?
Yes, and that's the reason for the double turn here, and this one will be held back, because here's the driveway for the bank, and then here's the drive-through entrance. Okay. This is designed to hold two, almost three cars, and then do a turn in here.
I had that question asked me, and I thought it was. I told him that I wasn't sure it was short enough.
It's tight, but it works. And like I said, you'll see the delineators there the day we make the transition and the traffic change. And that's just to get everybody so they know they cannot turn in here. They have to come to the corner and make their way around. By the way, they can make their way around and either pull in here or, according to the chief, make the U-turn and pull in here. In terms of as they are legal.
So there'll be three parking spots on the street and four in the parking lot.
Correct.
And three out on Main Street.
Four. About be four in the be one, two, three, four, five, six, seven.
And then out on Main Street.
And you still have the ones in front.
There's about three out there.
Correct. Okay.
Where do the employees park now?
In our parking lot on the east side of the building.
Oh, is that right?
They do.
Yes, they do. And the postmaster was actually parking in front of the 15-minute parking sign here.
Any questions? Thanks, Jake. Item number six. Cable television contract renewal time, and are there any council members that would like to be on the committee to on the cable television committee to enter into another contract or decide what you want to do?
How much time are you talking about?
How many meetings is it going to take?
Probably
to
five.
Five meetings.
Meetings be during the day, I assume. Daytime meetings?
Late afternoons.
I'll send them on that.
How many people are you after?
Everybody volunteered. Whatever the mayor wants to play.
I think we need at least two.
Five meetings?
Don't everybody volunteer at once.
Yeah.
I think Mark would like to be on that committee.
Yeah, Mark's more. There you go. Let's volunteer him.
No, seriously, I think he would like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and if you don't, I'll be on that committee. Okay. And any of you that decide tonight that you have a real compassion to be on that, let Eamon or myself know. But right now it's Mark Spohr and Kenny Johnson, and I'll be an alternate.
Okay.
Item number seven, unfinished business.
I've got one little item.
Go ahead.
I can't really say when it was. I'd say 8 months ago, 9 months ago, we come up with the beautification wanted an elevation for the city. And that has happened last week, thanks to Jay and our engineering firm. We transferred the elevation from the old Bureau building, the irrigation district over there, to almost to the lobby of City Hall. And we come up with 1098.83. So we'll probably round that off to 1099. And that's what our elevation of Othello will be. So all of the new signs that go up, that's what the elevation will be. Correct, Jay? Is that right? Okay. We're going to put a, I think we're going to put a brass plate out there and the whole bit, so it makes it really official. So I just want to thank Jay and the engineering group for doing that.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're 1,099 feet, right? Is that what you said? 1099?
Yeah, 1099. Yeah.
Hmm. Ken,
this sounds like an income tax.
Did you want to talk about the fireworks?
Yeah, the fireworks. I think we need to pass a resolution on that, don't we? For the approval of the process for the permit. And normally, sometimes we have the permit in hand by this time to do it, but there's a 30-day period according to our own ordinances, and we won't have a meeting meet that time.
Well, you're right, we'll look at that, but we just saw it tonight for the first time too.
Yeah.
So would it be appropriate for a resolution to be made tonight?
You can direct that a resolution be made. You can pass a motion that is the same as a resolution approving it, but the attorney hasn't looked at this, the fire chief hasn't looked at
it. It has to be signed by all the proper authorities, too.
Right. A resolution is the same as a motion.
So so is it the consensus of the council to, once the fire chief has looked at this and put his approval on it, that we approve this permit?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Real quick, as just the permit to do the display, because there is, you know, the addition of the extra part to the show to fill the gaps, kind of thing, to make it a little bit more, you know, exciting, I guess. So is that, what is it?
As long as the fire chief signs off on it,
okay.
It's okay with us.
And I think you were asking about the extra $1,000.
Correct, yeah, the extra proposal, that's separate.
From us, or I mean, are you asking us for another $1,000? No.
I think since we just get a general $3,800, I'm guessing, but yeah, I guess as long as then the chief is okay with it, it's okay to do it then?
Yeah.
To add the extra.
Yeah, I don't, does council have any?
I have no problem. I think as long as the city stays.
With the understanding that any conditions that the chief or the legal or staff may come up with.
If you want to put some extra money in it, the chamber wants to put some extra money in it, and everyone else signs off, the powers to be sign off on it, the council is behind it, in favor of it.
And I do want to say I apologize that I didn't get it sooner. I'm still kind of, I'm learning the policy of it all, and don't have to like necessarily guide it, so I wish I had known.
It does take a bit. We kind of threw it onto, actually last year was the first year I got to set out in the fireworks and watch them, only over 20 years, so it was kind of nice to set out with family. Instead of watching them from underneath them and watching them, it was nice to watch them funny out in the crowd. But I know they've went to a new system of electronically setting them off, and they're not out there with the fuse lighting them, and it's much, much safer to do it. And I did notice that they went down to smaller shells. 2.5 is the largest. And I kind of seen that coming up with conversations with Western Fireworks in the past when we were struggling to try to keep the fireworks in the park. I know the court there's state regulations at 70 feet for every inch of firework. I mean, for every size. But Western has a very good safety record, and they like to maintain that. They like to push the standard up to 100 for themselves. Mm-hmm. And we're pushing those limits on the park out there already. So it is a smaller size shell by only half an inch, but the shells now are just as nice, if not better, for production. And these are all in preloaded boxes, I noticed, this year, which is really nice for the pro technician to be setting them off and makes the show really nice. A lot nicer shell. You get more shells for your dollar.
You said that 2 years ago, they were going to get smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
Time may be of essence here, as we have a workshop next week, and then our next regularly planned meeting would be the following week, so that's 2 weeks. So it may be that that's why we're doing it the way we're doing it here, that time, you might get into a time thing here where 2 weeks is not going to give you enough time to get everything done. So you need to do the fire, the safety, all the safety stuff, and as long as they sign off on it, the council is okay with your presentation as presented tonight. Any other comments?
That didn't require a motion or anything like that?
It's going to be brought back a later time. It'll be brought back a later time for approval.
Okay.
You said move ahead with these parameters.
Yeah, we'll just move ahead and then we'll approve it.
Okay. We'll bring back the final to you in 2 weeks.
Any more unfinished business? Item number 8, new business. Next week is filing week. Councilman Rodall, Tim, Ken Kaler, and myself, our positions are up for re-election. Just an informational statement. City pool will open to the public on Saturday, June 13th, 2009. Next Monday, June 1st, is our public meeting on Highway 26. Improvements to First Avenue and Broadway. And that's a workshop. And I expect it to be a pretty long evening. We sent out, 82 invitations, and I'm sure all 82 will be here.
Left a few more.
Yeah. So if there's any more new business, we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
That's what I thought.